You're all dressed up, dude. Where's the t-shirt?
I know. I like the t-shirt, too.
I'm starting to feel bad. You got something you want me to do?
No, I'm trying to find the cover page for this. Okay, are we ready? Okay. Now, just come back. We call to order the Board of Directors meeting of the South County San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District for November 7th, 2018. Roll call, please.
Vice Chair Barbara Nichols?
Here.
Yes.
Director Karen White.
Here.
Okay. Rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Agenda review. Any questions or changes?
No.
None? Okay.
I have an announcement. I included I have added an extra warrant register so that we can pay the bills that came in after I published the original warrant register due to the meeting being canceled on November 21st.
And we were given those warrants to sign, right?
That is correct.
Okay. We have them here.
Thank you.
All right. Public comments on items not appearing on the agenda.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I would like to ask your board to rescind the censure of Mayor Jim Hill. I'd like to ask you to censure Mayor John Scholes, and just in case you didn't know, Mr. Scholes has been under an FPPC investigation for over 2 years related to conflicts of interest, not with this district, but with some of his properties and his work on other agencies. I'd like you to correct the record of Mary Lucy. This was something that was talked about some time ago, and I think a newsletter, a Facebook page, is some way to communicate with the residents of your district that Ms. Lucy was misinformed and made some statements that were out of order, and that this is how you run the district, not how she said. I'd like to see you consider civil action against John Wallace. And I know sometime in the last few weeks, your district administrator has been in possession of the court documents. And I'd like to know if you all have been accessed those. Have you been given those to read? I think you'd find them fascinating. I think you should ask for a deputy district attorney to come into one of your closed sessions to have this discussion with you so that you fully understand what Mr. Wallace did to this district or what those conflicts meant to this district and how you can seek full restitution. I think that's all for this part. I'll see you again soon.
I have a question, Vice Chair. May I ask the question of the District Administrator?
Yes.
You may not know this, but there was a previous vote on the issue of what Mary Lucy said that was factually incorrect about what the district did regarding wastewater discharge. And what I'm asking is that you review that, because there was a vote, a majority vote, to correct the record, and that was never done. If you have a vote from here at the dais, it shouldn't be ignored. And I'm asking that you bring it forward to a future agenda to deal with the issue, because she mischaracterized what the district was doing. And it's not reasonable that you have a vote that's a majority on this dais and then it gets ignored. So I'm asking that you look at it, talk to legal counsel, and come forward at a future meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure that was all complete.
Thank you.
On to the next thing. My name is Brad Snook. I'm the chair of our county's chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. I want to thank the board for their questions having to do with the Brian program. I want to thank staff's efforts and the district administrator's efforts on the Brian program SOP that was published, and being open and asking the Surfrider chapter for information as directed either by the board or just open willingness to have that conversation. It's a good thing. The letter that I wrote back to the district administrator, I'm here to read. It's approximately 3 minutes, because I've been doing this for so long, I now write in 3-minute intervals. All right?
Okay.
Jeremy, thanks for reaching out on this issue. We understand the district has expanded access for brine discharge over the last 10 years. The district has also changed the truck route for brine discharge away from main paved roads through an area where the Ocean Airport Plan has identified environmentally sensitive habitat. However, while the district has an easement with the airport to use the alternate route, the frequency of use and type of brine truck, size and capacity, passing along this alternative route through or adjacent to ESHA has not been studied or permitted. A quick look at the alternate route and adjacent ESHA near Arroyo Grande Creek shows many opportunities for improvement. There's a problem with homeless people camping in the watershed. Cut fencing is a sign the area is not well maintained or secure. It is possible that roadway improvements, paving, and improvements to fencing security would permit the watershed to fit nicely into the permitting process for the new truck route. The district should show the California Coastal Commission the new impacts of the existing wastewater treatment plant site are being closely measured, transparently reported, and the district is taking steps to protect resources surrounding the plant from additional impacts placed on the environment from the district's changes to operational procedures and the brine truck route. We are also aware the costs of South County Sanitation District's brine discharge program are not paid by the district ratepayers. So we're asking the district to study improvement of the environmental protections through and adjacent to ESHA, potentially at brine discharger's expense, and to see whether working with the county on other tangential issues and impacts to the watershed can be concurrently addressed. If the cost is too high, perhaps the district would instead pursue improvements to the bridge near the main gate, where trucks would pass along the original route, along paved roads, where size, capacity, and brine truck frequency impacts have been previously studied. our Surfrider chapter is asking for a fair and transparent study of whether managed retreats should be conducted by the district for their plant out of the 100-year floodplain and out of a tsunami run-up zone. Our chapter is consistent on this advocacy throughout the county. We bring that same advocacy to South County Sanitation. All we want is a fair analysis of that. In reviewing the route of the brine trucks, it's a change that's happened over the last year. Certainly this is a new change, and there's more trucks than ever, brine trucks, passing through over this new route. And so there was a change. Now, if you're going to build a new plant in that site, you would not design the trucks to go along that route, along that way, through an area of questionable security and also questionable safety for the environment. So thank you for hearing, and thank you for your continued pursuit of this.
Yes.
You keep using a phrase which I'm not aware of. It's ESHA? What?
Environmentally sensitive habitat area.
That's
what happens in when you're doing an environmental impact report. The geologists or the people that are familiar with wildlife and the plants and stuff come out and map out where the environmentally sensitive habitat is.
So it's a CEQA issue.
It's essentially CEQA, and that's what would happen when you study this area and make sure that the capacity of the trucks, the frequency of the trucks, and everything having to do with this change is adequately protected for the environment.
Thank you for that clarification. And
thank
you, Ms. Chair.
All right.
I think we have another comment.
One more.
One more. Okay.
I don't have anything prepared. I just want to follow up on what Julie Tacker said. I also would like to see Mary Lucy's statement corrected, where people can actually read that it's been corrected. One of the reasons it's so serious is what she said. First of all, she was sitting on this board. She was a member of this board. She wasn't just a member of the public when she made the statement. And she knew better. To me, that's a lie. And I want lies called out and corrected, where the public can see that that was a lie that a member of the board told about the district she was sitting on. Second, I also would like to see the censure of Maryhill reversed. Let's see, there was one. Oh, and I also would like to see the board follow up on checking out what the district attorney, I would like to see the Wallace investigation reviewed and see if we can come at them and get some of our money back. As a ratepayer and a taxpayer, I don't like to see our money funneled away illegally, and I think, again, when someone does wrong, they need to be called on it and make restitution. Thank you.
Excuse me, would you please state your name for the record?
Patricia Price. I live in Arroyo Grande.
Thank you. All right. Now we can go on to the consent agenda. Does anybody have any questions, changes?
Move for approval.
I do have one correction, just a small typo on the minutes of the meeting. On 6A, paragraph has contacted staff and has proved staff instead of provided staff. Okay, got that. Thanks, Amy. Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be at the meeting to approve the.
I'm just double checking.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And Do I hear a second to his? Okay. All right. That's approved.
No, you have to vote. No, you have to vote.
Public comment on the consent.
You have a motion. Right. You have comments on it? We should have done that before we voted.
Right.
No, but I've made a motion, which I shouldn't have done before public comment.
Thank you.
How about let me make a few comments, and then you guys discuss. Maybe I might inspire you to talk some more about it. I am Julie Tacker, and I first wanted to note and express my pleasure the expenditure for Amy going to the CalPERS Forum. $287.59 is a good price for some good education for something that she should have had a long time ago. I will also express my displeasure in the $2,650 expenditure to Lara HR Services. This is on top of what I last recall of $9,000 for your district's rewrite of your policies and procedures. Those are employee policies and procedures. I can go online and download boilerplate all day long, and it would never cost $11,000. It's very unfortunate what your district spent on these procedures. The supplemental sheet that was handed out, there is an expenditure for Kennedy Jenks, and it is $205,785.92. Expected expense. I'm curious. I'm sure this is for towards the 90% design. My question is, has the 90% design revealed any more potential costs associated with the redundancy project? Last comment I have is on the October 17th minutes. In this under 6B, that's page 3 of the minutes. Under 6B, there was some discussion about the brine waste procedures, and I asked about the sensitivity of the land and the delivery route that Mr. Snook just talked to you about. You had two directors request the administrator reach out to the Coastal Commission, and I wonder if that's been done. And I also asked at that time, and I hope he also reaches out to the airport folks to make sure that your use of that road is also in, you know, has their approval too, because you weren't here before, but that sliver of the property was deeded to the district about 10 years ago, and it may specify, I haven't seen the deed, whether or not you can use it for that purpose. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if you'd be kind enough to have the administrator comment on the 90% for the redundancy project, the question that was asked, because I think that's valuable information for the public.
Absolutely. Please do that. Mr. Gent?
Yes, so the invoice before you is there's two. So there's a September invoice and an August invoice from Kennedy Jenks. So one's on the one warrant, and then one's on the additional warrant. And so those were, one of them was for advancing the 60% plans to make the submittal that was in September, and then ongoing work to reach 90% plans, which will be submitted in late December next month. And so these are expected expenditures. They're within budgets. And so as of right now, during the 60%, there were substantial cost increases as we made decisions to include other parts of infrastructure that we added to the redundancy project. At this point, there's no known increases coming out of the 90% plan. There's likely going to be increases, but nothing to the magnitude of what we were talking about last time. When we added the secondary clarifier with change order 8 to the project, which was for $2.5 million, which was a major increase.
So what are the differences for the 90%?
We don't have those until the 90% plans are submitted next month. We won't know the exact cost differences. But we do weekly update meetings with Kennedy Jenks every Friday. And so they keep us abreast of any changes. And to date, going through as they're developing the 90% plans, there have been no indications that there's additional costs or major increases in the project scope or cost overruns.
I would just ask, based on the questions that have been asked by the public, that at the next meeting, if there's any update on that issue, that you would provide it as a way to be transparent.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. We move to 5C, the notice of cancellation of meeting. Do we have a vote on that?
I don't want to vote for a cancellation. I think we should have every meeting.
Wasn't that part of the consent agenda that we voted on?
It was on consent? Oh,
yeah, it's
yes, already it was on consent.
Yeah.
Can I make a quick comment on that?
Please.
Thank you, Tim, for...
My concern about having the meeting canceled on November 21st, it makes total sense because it's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, but you have recently gotten your draft waste discharge requirements order from the Water Board, and the comment period closes on November 30th, and I don't know how your board will comment unless it's been agendized and you read through it and ask your district administrator to write a letter on your behalf. So that would have been the meeting that you would have done that. So I don't know if you canceled this meeting and have a special one before the 30th. I hate to do that to you, but I think it's important that you make a statement of some kind that's been agendized and properly vetted in public.
Can you respond to that, please, Jeremy?
So, yes, the regional board reached out to us and has provided us with an updated draft permit. And so we've followed the posting protocols as outlined by them. At this point, the regional board controls that as if it's their document, and it's posted on their website, and they ask for all correspondence to go through their office. I think Ms. Tacker brings up a good point. If we wanted the board to have some sort of response to those public comments or the draft permit, that permit has not been provided to any members of the board to date. And so if the board would like to review and comment on that, we would either need to have a separate meeting or I could meet with you individual and we could compile a response and could include that as... include that in there as public comments, as public comments and going through the review.
Right.
And
have you reviewed it?
Yeah. Yes. So I have reviewed it. This chief plant operator has reviewed it. The lab technician has reviewed it. And our shift operator has reviewed the permit. And we've provided comments back to the regional board on that permit.
Are you pretty comfortable that you've covered all the bases?
Yes, and actually there's no proposals to change any of our effluent limits. There's a few additional testing requirements that we were expecting as the industry and matures and there's different constituents that we monitor for. I would encourage, since surf riders here, that's an opportunity to make comments on our permit if they have concerns or issues. The one noteworthy thing is it's actually, I'll call it a reopener language in the permit, where Coastal is, the Regional Water Quality Control Board is looking for us to increase our brine monitoring and testing. And so they're looking to the district to make those modifications and propose something back. And so, Brad, if you haven't looked at that permit language, your organization might be very interested in what's that there and provide that feedback to the regulatory agency as such. But that's the current status. Staff and myself have reviewed and commented on.
So you feel comfortable it's not, out of bounds in terms of what would normally be expected?
Correct. There are no concerns that we would not be able to meet every proposed portion of language in the permit as drafted.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, can we approve the warrants and the minutes with the explanations that we have and the notice of cancellation? Do we need a special meeting, in your opinion, earlier than the 21st?
I did not approach this endeavor as being a board-led effort to respond to the regional board on these comments. If I pursued that incorrectly, I'll apologize. I believe that's a staff task. I believe staff took it on and addressed it. I believe that's where the expertise lies. I certainly think that that all of you should receive a copy of it so you can see it. And if there are comments or concerns, I would love to hear them. But whether it's appropriate for the board to review and discuss a very technical document, that was not apparent to me that was a route that we would want to go down.
I would agree with that.
I agree with that also. With the fact that
so we will go ahead with the cancellation of the meeting of November 21, 2018.
So you need a motion for... What do you need a motion for now?
We already had a motion and a second on the case.
Okay.
Yes.
So
yes.
We need to vote then.
Right. Okay. Amy?
Director Brown?
Yes.
Vice Chair Nichols?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, we are going to the action items. District Administrator and Plant Operations Report.
Good evening, Madam Vice Chair. Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. Not many monumental things in here, but I did update that the 90% plans will be submitted in late December. I did double check on them if it was going to slip past the holidays. They indicated no, they would make the submittal in late December. We reinstalled our centrifuge and are in the process of returning the rental centrifuge, so that will result in a savings of $15,500 a month to the district when we have returned the rented centrifuge that we've been using since the digester repair. We expect to bring the audit for the 16-17 on December 5th to the board, which is our next scheduled meeting. And then there's a comment, we talked about it quite a bit, but the regional board, our draft permit language, so I kind of updated the public and the board on what's going on with that and how they can make comments. No updates on Central Coast Blue to mention. And then on the plant operations report, we were within all of our limits for the reporting period and had no exceedances or no violations to report. Staff continues to move forward with several substantial preventative maintenance going forward. We did have a call out, a motion sensor. The sheriff responded. What had happened is we had a locksmith out. We had a lock on a door. There's probably around 30 doors at the facility that we lock and that are monitored, only about six of them get regular use. One of the ones that doesn't get regular use, there was a problem with the lock, had the locksmith out. That door remained unlocked over the weekend, and we believe it was a wind gust, and the door moved, and it set off the alarm for the proximity because that door remained unlocked and wasn't checked after the locksmith was there. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Public comment.
Julie Tacker, and I might want to. I don't remember if any of you or all of you were at the meeting. It's been probably a year and a half ago now, that there was a washer and dryer purchased for any thing that needed to be washed on site. I think the sort of silver lining of having a washer and dryer for the staff was the dryer, in that when it was raining, their coats would get wet and they could pop them in the dryer, hypothetically, if you actually had one. And I'm hoping that it's going to rain. And I just wondered if that is a prudent expenditure, and that maybe as part of the district administrator's coming tasks, maybe he could look into that, ask the staff if it's still something they desire. But it seems to me that this dryer would be valuable, but a washer too. The other thing that I wanted to talk to you about, go back to, is this, the permit. This is the reissuance of the waste discharge permit for the plant. In your staff report, it says that the draft is now public and interested parties may inspect, comment, and copy the relevant documents at the office of the Central Coast Water Board, 895 Arrow Vista Place, blah, blah, blah. I found it online. I think it would be good of you to put that link on your website so people can find it through you as well. The concern that I have is that the comment period does close on November 30th, and the meeting where this permit will be discussed is not until January 31st. So there's a full 2 months where the comment period is closed before the regional board is actually going to hear the item. It says in their notice that the chair of the Central Coast Water Board will rule on late submittals before or at the hearing. I'm uncomfortable, and this isn't your fault. This is probably their language that they use on everything. But it seems to me that that person doesn't have the discretion to pick and choose what can be in the record. And so I think that's why I was sort of leaning towards your board having having your own letter, having a public process locally where your community could speak to the permit. I'm a wastewater nerd, so it interests me. But then I get uncomfortable when I read this language that they would somehow toss comments that maybe came in late or came in right before the meeting. In my mind, it's not legal what they're doing. But I just wanted to point that out to you. Again, ask that the link to the permit be on your website so that people can access it easily and make comment as soon as they can, because the 30th will be here in short order.
Brad Snook, Surfrider. I got to piggyback on some of the issues brought up by Ms. Tacker. I had about an hour to review the draft permit today. I'm also a wastewater nerd, but not through training. I learned it because I felt I had to. I would appreciate it if the representatives that are dealing with the core issue of this district, which is meeting the permit, understand the permit before they sit down in that chair. And if the permit's going to change, they keep track of what those changes are. So Regional Water Quality put out their last permit in 2009. So this has been some degree of change for the last many, many years. And all of a sudden we have a month to review the document, put together the changes, learn what all those changes are all about, and try and figure out how we can do better to meet the core mission of what the staff does and what the money that the board issues to help the staff do what they do on a regular basis. So I urge the board to perhaps find a way to slip out the comment period or find a way so the board and the public can get together and understand what's in that document, and staff can report to the board and to the public as to what's in that document and what the staff and the board and the public can do better in the future to meet the needs of the permit and the ocean water quality here in the district. Thank you.
And that sounds like a reasonable request. What do you think? Any comments by?
Well, it gets back to your earlier comments about, is it a technical issue that you feel you can comment on in a reasonable manner that the board would support, or do we actually have to have a meeting and talk about the changes in the permit? If you feel like you can, I mean, we hire you for your expertise. Do you feel like you can reasonably comment on the changes and what might be improved or not?
Yeah, so I definitely feel that staff and can respond to the permit. Now, it's well heard what Mr. Stook and Ms. Tacker said as far as the reporting period. And actually, when the regional board contacted us, it was a very compressed schedule asking for us to turn around. The feedback I got about extending that schedule was that we could take more time and try to get comments in the language Ms. Tacker took issue with about removing the permit, the comments may be included or may not be included. Just get them in and see what happens. But I was told by Katie D. Simone that the schedule was set and it was going to progress on this schedule because hearings had been set and they were controlling it. And so I believe that we have limited influence on that schedule.
Not the schedule so much. Are you able to comment in a way that's helpful?
Yes, and so that I can directly answer, and I believe I have answered, Tim, is that, yes, I believe the comments are comprehensive and include and represent the district's interests, and that effort has been completed. But it is it could be considered a brief period of time for public comments, and I believe that the appropriate audience for that is the regional board because it is their hearing, it is their item, and they have set that schedule. And so I believe the district is at the mercy of that schedule. Certainly engage them and get some clarification on that, but I don't believe that anything will change on that schedule because of the way they want to get that wrapped up, and they seem to be in a hurry to conclude it.
But it's based on your comments, so you've already commented on what you think the issues might be.
Correct. So they had us review it. They gave us 10 days to review it before the public draft was released. And so myself and staff, and they notified us at the same time our 60% redundancy plans came in. And that's when I engaged about extending it and was told, no, just if you can't do it in 10 days, just get it to us during the public comment period. But we did turn it around during the 10-day period and got comments back.
Thank you for
it.
That.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I just want to say that I think we hire administrators to do exactly what they just did. And while I appreciate the idea of having public comment, as long as they provided their expertise, I'm okay.
The only question I had is there any hugely different changes in this permit? I mean, it's still a water permit to put, I mean, are there any massive changes or changes that would really impact the district?
No, there are no changes to our discharge requirements. So that we're still what's considered is referred to as a 40-40 plant, which means our total suspended solids are at 40, and then our biological oxygen demand is at 40. And so that remains unchanged and has been the plant's permit since the get-go. The one notable change is the potential changes to the brine program that aren't known or understood at this point because they're just asking us over the next year to make some changes to that program and increase the amount of testing that we're doing and to add some testing to that. So there could be follow-up to the brine program where we would have to go back and look at increasing rates to the brine disposal to be able to cover those costs of upgrades to meet any changes that the regional board may put on us for the brine disposal program.
Well, the brine disposal program is a secondary program for the plant, isn't it?
Correct.
So that it's something we're not mandated to do.
Correct. That's a discretionary program that that the district has offered since 1993. The district has accepted brine. When it was initially proposed, it was around 5,000 gallons per day was the max. And then it was in 2001, I believe, it was expanded to 50,000 gallons per day where it's remained. And we rarely get anywhere close to that limit. We're typically doing 3,000 to 8,000 gallons a day of brine disposal at the plant. And that's from folks hauling like water softeners, Culligans, and so they need a place to dispose of the brine. They can't do it on land applications because it pollutes groundwater, but the salts are similar to the ocean waters, and so the regional board allows us to offer that service to these local vendors.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I appreciate your comments and clarification on that. Thank you.
Could I ask one more question? The Human Resources Personality Policy Manual is years in the making, and I thought it would have come forward before now, and I would assume that it hasn't come forward because there are other more pressing problems in some ways.
So
that's sort of a question.
Yeah.
Why haven't we seen it again already?
So it's we anticipate on December 19th that item's coming forward, and some of the charges we're meeting with Alicia Laura, the consultant that put it together originally, and finalizing it in a package that we could bring forward to the board. And so that $2,000 and some odd was that effort that myself and Amy engaged with Alicia and council as well. And so we're in the final phases of completing that. I do believe that's a little bit tardy. I think the board spent a number of months reviewing, page by page and every word. I think you've both participated in that. And so, I think it's owed to the board and probably should have been there, 6 weeks ago, based on when I started.
Yeah, but I would assume there have been other more 60% plans are more important at this point than...
Correct. The direction I was given was redundancy first, and so we definitely needed to pick up that effort. There were some things slipping on the redundancy project, and so I believe that's all addressed at this point, and we're back on schedule, and it's unlikely that we would see substantial schedule slip moving forward, unless there is some cost implication that we would have to regroup to analyze.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to 6B, the fiscal year 2018-19 first quarter budget performance review.
Yeah. So, Jeremy Gent, district administrator, I'd like to introduce the fiscal year 18-19 first quarter budget performance review, and I'll turn it over to Amy Simpson, our bookkeeper, so she can run through the details.
Tonight you have before you the first quarter budget review. You'll notice that through the first quarter, that's July through September, the district has received 20% of its anticipated revenue and expended 18% of its budgeted expenditures, and this is at the 25th percent benchmark. The discrepancy in the 25% revenue anticipated, and we've only received 20%, is due to the Oceano community being on the property taxes. That revenue is now going to come in, and it will boost this number significantly. Let's see. I had listed out the accounts that were paid in full. The first one was the unfunded accrued liability. That's the CalPERS, and it is an unfunded accrued liability is the disparity between the estimated amount of a pension plan and its obligations and the current value of its assets. We have paid our insurance liability. That is for our cars and our errors and omissions insurance, and the LAFCO budget share. I also listed the accounts that were greater than the budgeted amount at the end of this first quarter. The unemployment reimbursement was at 62%. We don't anticipate further expenses in this account. The uniforms were higher at the 25% mark, and this was due to the annual payment for the boot allowance that's given out in July. The auditing came in higher, and that's due to we're almost complete with our 16-17 audit. When I created the budget, we didn't anticipate to accomplish two audits in 1 year, so I will be bringing that account back and asking for a budget adjustment. Professional services computer support. I believe in August we had an IT company come in and go through our phone system and rewire it, and we put in new phone lines for Mr. Gent's office, added an additional phone line in my office. So that drove up that budget account. The gas is a little high. This reflects the boiler running on natural gas instead of digester gas, and staff is continuing to monitor this account. Office supplies was a little high. I think that was just to start off the new fiscal year. And plant chemicals were high, and this was a result of the chlorine contact chamber overhaul, and staff will monitor this account. Overall, the district expenditures remain below the adopted fiscal year 2018-19 budgeted amounts. As per good fiscal and budget practices, staff continues to monitor costs versus budgeted amounts while providing the district and its ratepayers the best cost benefit and investment of district funds. Also included is the profit and loss budget to actual, and it actually lists every single account, what has been spent, what was budgeted, and the percentage of where it's at today. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
I have no questions on this.
No, I read a lot of... Well, actually, I do have one little... on page... Well, they're all page one. Account 204010 AG connectors, that's at 230%. It's at the top of, would be the top of the third page.
That account, I believe, is the Branch Street Hotel that came in, provided us a significant amount of connections. And those are new connections, meaning when a new development attaches to the trunk line. And that was a major...
In Arroyo Grande.
In Arroyo Grande. It was a new hotel. And yeah. I believe there's two new hotels.
Yeah, but it's the
income.
Nick Tompkins Hotel. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Public comment?
Julie Tacker, and I wanted to thank Amy for the comprehensive quarterly review. And I don't know that you will open the public comment to the next item being the letter from Jim Erb. So I'm going to wrap that into this. And note that his warning to small districts includes a checklist, and one of those things is to have do the managers share detailed budget to actual information with the board of directors at least quarterly. So that is one of the things that he's recommending that the small districts do. It wasn't always done in a very recent past, so I'm glad to see that, and it is comprehensive, and I appreciate that. And the last thing I'll say tonight is I'm going to miss you, Tim Brown.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate your work, your service to your community, and certainly to the Sand District, where I'm a wastewater nerd.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that's a receive and file, so we go on to miscellaneous items, which is a letter from Mr. Erb.
So, yes, the district received a letter. Myself and Chair Austin both received the same letter, and it accomplishes a couple of things. It was a farewell by Jim Erb introducing Jim Hamilton as the new county auditor controller. I don't know what all roles he covers, but it's auditor controller, treasurer, tax collector's office. And so as part of this, he had some good guidelines and a checklist that Amy and I sat down and went through. And, you know, as we went through, most of it's like really obvious stuff we're obligated to do. But there were certainly areas where when we read them, it's stuff that maybe we've done in the past and haven't kept up to date, or there are things that we could do better. And so certainly appreciate the checklist and keeping up with good financial practices. And but I think for the most part, the district is now on a track where we do all of these things, and that's we'll strive to make sure that those all the yes boxes can be checked. That's all I have. Thanks.
Very good. Thank you. Any other comments by the board?
No.
Board member communications? None here. None. Move. I will entertain a move to adjourn.
So move.
Second. We are adjourned at 6:52 p.m. The next regularly scheduled board meeting, December 5.